Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation and insight in the name of Jesus. There is no confusion, no disparity, but revelation and clarity in all this house in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we give you praise for now it's done, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Genesis 1:26. Alright, let's read. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, hallelujah, and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. You know what this means now, right? Is this evangelism in Genesis 1:28? Is this men filling the earth with the knowledge of God? Okay, it says have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we've seen that God has a missionary plan, right? God, the Bible reveals an evangelistic God. We can say it like that, okay? God is an evangelist, okay? What does it mean to evangelize? It simply means to make God known. Are you here? To make God known, or to make God's message known. That is what it means to evangelize, to make God or his message known. And you know his message is good news, right? Right? Okay? So that any act that makes God's good news known is that act of evangelism, okay? And you know God was the first person in the scriptures who made the good news known. Right? He did that first of all, Genesis 1:28. Right? Genesis 2:15, right? Okay, then Genesis 3:15. You know, actually, you know, for those people who say that Genesis 3:15 is the first declaration of the gospel, you know, we can argue, right? You know, we can still say you can find the gospel in Genesis 1:28. You know, we just did, right? You can find the gospel in Genesis 1:26-28. You can find it in Genesis 2:15, right? Genesis 2:15, 16, 17, yeah. But you know, for since it's agreed upon by several Bible scholars, right? We just accept it like that. For the sake of brotherly love and unity. Amen? But if we want, we can argue. We can argue, but but because of brotherly, because, you know, if we don't want to argue on everything. You know, we're already arguing on so much. You say, salvation is not eternal. We sit down with you, we argue. You know, at least, okay, this one. You say this is the first declaration, okay? Let me just say, it's the first clear declaration, okay, of the gospel in the Bible. But actually, God had always been speaking of the gospel right from Genesis 1:1. You know, when God says, let there be light, Paul tells us that God referred to light shining out of man's heart. I mean, that is the gospel, right? You know, so, you know, there are a lot of arguments you can give on that. But, you know, it's still fine to say Genesis 3:15 is that clear declaration of the gospel in the scriptures. And we said that in every generation God raises a man or men to carry out his plan, his purposes on the earth. We saw first of all that plan began with a man named Seth, right? In his days, when it was said that men began to call Quara, right, proclaim, preach, announce the name of the Lord. And then we also saw a man by the name Enoch, who we are told walked with God, right? He was righteous in his generation, one who witnessed of God in his generation. Then we saw Noah, right? Noah, the son of Lamech, right? And then we said he is from the descendant of Seth, right? Or the lineage of Seth. And Noah is chosen by God to be his missionary in his sinful generation. You know, Peter calls them the world of the ungodly, right? Those who have refused to worship God, those who have refused to walk in God's plan, pleasure, and purposes for them on the earth. And then you see that for 120 years, God delays judgment on them. Do you see that? To show you how good God is. God says, well, judgment is coming upon you, but I stop it. So, can God delay judgment? Can God stop judgment? caught you there? Can God delay judgment on the sinner? Can God give him time to repent? But will the judgment come eventually?
Yes.
That is exactly what is going on today. Do you see? Do you see right from Genesis, it has always been. So that long suffering of God, now that he waits for men to believe on Jesus, has always been his character. Do you see this now? See the judgment at the last day. Do you see this now? Okay. So, but we saw that as well, Noah's generation are so evil that animals obeyed God and they refused. Imagine Ewure, Adie, what is a goat? They are usually the stubborn ones. Is that Ewure? Aha, Ewure, Ogboron, pass, sorry, oh God, how do I say this in Yoruba? Agutan, Ogboron, pass, Enia. So that shows you are very, very stubborn. Do you get it? You know the way you need to draw a ram. You draw a goat. You know, goats are very stubborn. Yet goats followed Noah into the ark, while human beings said no. That is a parable. Do you get it now? To show that you guys are so bad that even animals will obey God more than you. Do you get it? So the ark of Noah is a parable that condemned that world, to show them that, well, you guys are so bad and your destruction is merited. Right? Okay, then the destruction came and all of that. And then the old creation was destroyed, right? Cain's generation, right? The former generation, right? Was destroyed. A picture of the old man, right? Destroyed in sin. Then we now have the new creation, which is Noah and his family. And Noah and his family were supposed to be a form or a type of a new creation on the earth. And you know, that's Genesis 9, after the flood, they're supposed to fill the earth with the praise, worship, and adoration of God. But again, we see that Noah's family failed, right? Noah became a drunkard. His sons became profane. They became idol worshippers, right? You saw that they even built a tower, and they said, let us get to the heavens. You know, that is a big statement. Do you get it? So let us get to the heavens. That is, they want to be God again. You know, that is the lie of the devil, right? Exactly what the devil told Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Says God knows that the day you eat of it, you shall be like him, right? Same thing. Do you see it now? Okay, and so that generation as well failed God. But like we said, God never relents when it comes to going after man, when it comes to following man in sin. God never relents, right? So God begins to look for another man, and he found one. He found a man by the name Abram. Okay, A-B-R-M-A, Abram. Now, Abram is a descendant of Shem, Noah's son. Okay? He's a descendant of Shem, Noah's son. You find that in Genesis 11. Okay? Now, God now repeats his message to Abram in Genesis 12. Please turn your Bible there. Genesis 12 verse 1. Remember, what is God's message? What does he want to do? Want to fill the earth with the worship of God? With the pleasures of God, the counsel of God. Okay, so what is he going to tell Abram? A different message or the same message? The same message he told Noah, the same message he told Abram and Adam. Okay, now look at Genesis 12 verse 1. Okay, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now look at verse 2. I will make you what? A great nation. Underline that. A great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall what? Be a blessing. Underline that. You shall be a blessing. Now look at verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Do you see that? And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Is this Genesis 1:28? Be fruitful, huh? Multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Is this God's message repeating his plan? Okay, to Abraham. Can we call this the Great Commission in the Old Testament? Can we say that? So Genesis 12, 1-3 is the Great Commission in the Old Testament again. Okay, so what does God want to do? God wants to use Abraham to bless the families of the world. Are you seeing this now? You know, God says this to Abraham three times. He says it to Abraham three times. You see it here first. That's Genesis 12, 1-3. Then you see it also in Genesis 18, verse 18. Then Genesis 22, verse 18. Okay, Genesis 12, 1 to 3, Genesis 18, 18, then Genesis 22, 18, okay? What does God want to do? He wants to fill the earth with his goodness. He wants everyone, everywhere, enjoying his life and his presence. Do you see it? Okay, so that is the blessing of Abraham. Are you here so far? Remember, right from Adam, what has the blessing been? Money, car, house, plenty children. What has the promise been? The presence of God with men. Do you get it now? So Genesis 1 to 3, Genesis 12, 1 to 3 is not going to change. Are you seeing this? So Abraham's blessing is what? Salvation to sinful men, not money. Are you here, guys? Are you sure? Not money, not lands, okay? Now we'll see where money comes in, but it's not money, okay? It's salvation to sinful men. Observe verse 2 again. Genesis 12. Can I see your hand if you're following me so far? Okay, thank you very much. Look at Genesis 12 verse 2 again. It says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, you know, most people come here and they are looking for cars and they miss out what God said here. He says, you shall be a blessing. Actually, in the Hebrew, this phrase, you shall be a blessing, is an imperative. Imperative. I-M-P-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. You know what that means? An imperative is a command, an instruction. So you can read it this way: I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you shall bless. Come on. Come on. Or be a blessing. That word is an instruction to Abraham. Are you seeing this? So I will bless you. After I've blessed you, then you will now be what? A blessing to others. Are you following this? Are you following this? So not only does God bless Abraham, he also instructs him to bless others. Can we call this evangelism? Okay. Now, after God gives Abraham a missionary work, that's what God is doing here, right? Now, look at what God says in verse 3. Now, pay very close attention here. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Now, what does this mean? You know, some people come here and say, God curses. What does this mean? I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Now, remember, why did God pick Abraham? What is the purpose? To be what? His evangelist. Are you following this? Are you following this? So what is Abraham supposed to do? To witness about Yahweh, right? To his generation, right? Okay. Now, what would it mean to curse and bless Abraham? Can we say to curse and bless Abraham whilst he's carrying out that duty? Are you seeing this? Okay. Now, let's look at those words, bless and curse. Bless and curse. They are interesting words in the Hebrew. Bless and curse. The word bless is the word barak. Not Obama. Amen. Barak. B-A-R-A-K. Which has to do with adoration when referring to man. It has to do with adoration when referring to man. One who worships or reverences. You know, it usually has to do with kneeling down. Okay? Adoration, worship, reverence, or kneeling down. Are you following this? Now, the word curse. Curse. The first, when it says, he who curses you. Okay? That's the word kaulau. Kaulau. Q-A-L-A-L. Q-A-L-A-L. Kaulau. Which means to despise or dishonor. Pay close attention to this. To despise or to dishonor. It means to see something or someone as small or insignificant in one's eyes. Did you get that? To see someone or something as small or insignificant in someone's eyes. Look at how it's used, that word. Kaulau. In 2 Samuel 6:21, please turn your Bible there. 2 Samuel 6:21. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will even be more undignified. That's that word. Kaulau. Verse 22. Undignified. You can say lightly esteemed. Okay? Than this. And will be humble in my own sight, but as for the maidservants of whom I have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Do you get it? So, back to Genesis 12 verse 3. So, you can say, those who despise you or esteem you lightly, I will curse. Are you following this? Those who despise you or esteem you lightly, I will curse. Interestingly, God uses another word for I will curse. It's not the word kaulau. It's the word arar. Arar. A-R-A-R. Which is used for abominable things. In the Jewish custom, a cursed thing is an abominable thing. Something that you don't associate with. Okay? Now remember, why is God choosing Abram to be his evangelist, right? Okay, so all those who bless Abram as he evangelizes, you get it now, will be blessed. That is, what would that mean? That is, all who reverence Abram's message and submit, right? Don't treat it lightly, right? Will receive God's blessings. Can we call that faith? Can we call that faith? Okay, and all who curse him, remember, while he is evangelizing, do you get it? Will be cursed. That is, all who treat his message lightly will be separated from God's people of faith. Do you get it now? So, to curse Abraham will be what? To reject his message. Hallelujah. To treat his testimony of God lightly, okay? And to bless Abraham will be what? To accept his message. Can we call this faith and unbelief? Yes. Okay, so those who bless Abraham, that is receive his message, will be blessed. Can we say with God's presence? Okay. And those who curse Abraham, that is reject God's message through him, will be cursed. That is, they will be excluded from God's promise. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? So curse there means that anyone who rejects Abraham's message will not have a part in the presence of God. Now question, is this the gospel? Huh? Is this the same thing Jesus Christ will say later on? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Is this the same thing? Is this the same thing? You see it again here in Genesis verse 12. Now look at the final clause of the final clause in verse 3, Genesis 12. He says, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Hallelujah. Is this the plan all along? Okay, now that phrase, all the families of the earth, in the Hebrew, is a long phrase, okay? Kol mishpekot ha-adama. Kol mishpekot ha-adama. That's K-O-L-M-I-S-H-P-E-C-H-O-T. That's mishpekot. Then ha-adama. That's H-A-A-D-A-M-A-H. Please write that down. I'll say it again. Kol mishpekot ha-adama. All the families of the earth. K-O-L-M-I-S-H-P-E-C-H-O-T. Then H-A-A-D-A-M-A-H. Did you get that? So all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, Mishpekod refers to family. Okay? But actually, when you check the Hebrew lexicon, it has a deeper meaning. It could refer to family, okay, but it could also mean tribes or clans. C-L-A-N-S. Tribes or clans. So you can read it this way. In you all the clans or the tribes of the earth shall be blessed. Speaking of different ethnicities. You see this? Not just the Jews. So, God's commission to Abraham shows that not only the Jews will be included in his plan. It has always been. Are you seeing this? Okay? It speaks of tribes, right? Clans, right? Ethnicities, right? That shows you that it supersedes the Jews. So, the blessing of Abraham will spread to all humanity. What is God doing here? God intends to use Abraham to accomplish a global work whereby all the families of the earth will receive the same blessing he received. Hallelujah. Okay? So again, God lets Abraham know of his universal work of salvation. Now, you know, this is not an easy task, you know, because Abraham's generation was full of sinful men. Very, very sinful men. You know, we are told by Bible scholars that there are over 27 million people. Think about that. 27 million people in Abraham's day. You know, that's a lot of people. So imagine having to tell 27 million people about God. different clans, right? Remember, at this point, there were now different tribes, clans all around the world, right? Now, Abraham now had the task to tell all of them about God. You know, this is a difficult task. How many of you agree? Right? But still, God commissions Abraham nonetheless. Why? Because God wants all of them. God wants the world. And that is why he chose Abraham. Hallelujah. Okay? Then later on, God changes Abraham's name to remind him of his promise. Look at Genesis 17 verse 3. Genesis 17 verse 3. It says, then Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be what? A father of many nations. Pay attention to that. A father of many nations. You know, this is very interesting because it doesn't say a father to the Jews. The Jew is already saying, where is he going with this now? This man has started again. Do you see this? It says, a father of many nations. Can we say Gentiles are involved? Can we say Gentiles are included? Non-Jews? Okay, it says, a father of many nations. Now, what does father mean? Father in the Hebrew can be used literally for someone who literally give birth to someone, but it could also mean or refer to someone who others follow. Hallelujah. Someone who others follow. They imitate his lifestyle. Are you following this? They imitate his lifestyle. So when he says a father of many nations, can we say one whom the nations will follow? Yes. Now the question is, what did Abraham do that the nations would follow? Look at Genesis 15 verse 1. Genesis 15 verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Verse 2. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Now verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now pay very close attention toward heaven and count the stars. Now pay close attention and underline this. Count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Do you see this? He says, count the stars and number them. If you can, so shall your descendants be. What is God doing here? He is showing him his universal plan of salvation. Can we say fill the earth? Okay? He's showing him his universal plan of salvation. So what is God saying here? Simple. Abraham will have numerous children. Okay, he will have several children. He will be their father. Now, how would he have children as numerous as the stars? This cannot be referring to Israel. Amen. Israel's population today is 8 million. That's not even up to Ibadan. Amen. 8 million. And then we are told by scientists, astrologers, that the amount of stars we see in the sky, the visible sky, are over 10 trillion. Hallelujah. So think about that. 8 million to 10 trillion. I mean, those are the stars we can see in the visible sky. Not to talk of the ones we cannot see. So what does this mean? This means that God's promise supersedes Abraham's physical descendants. Hallelujah. Is what? What is he doing here? He is speaking spiritually. Remember, the word father means what? A role model. Right? One who others imitate or they copy. So how would they become Abraham's children? Simple, by imitating him. Now question, what did Abraham do? Verse 6, Genesis 15. And what? Believed, hallelujah. Do you see that? In the Lord, and he accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. Can we say he found grace in the sight of the Lord? Same thing with Noah, right? Same thing. So just like Noah, Abraham now believed God, okay? He believed God's message. Can we say what Adam failed to do? Okay? And he's now made righteous. So this is what God means when he says, father of many nations. What does he mean? It means one whom the nations will imitate. What will the nations do? They will believe just like Abraham believed. Hallelujah. Do you get it now? So father of many nations is not, oh my, be mugging. You just be giving birth, you can give birth no more. No. Father then means role model. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? Okay, he who the nations will imitate. So how is Abraham the father of many nations? Several nations will believe just like Abraham. Hallelujah. Is this talking about the gospel? Come on. Is this the gospel? Yes. You see, without even Matthew to to Revelation. So right now you can sit with a Jew and explain salvation to him from their own scriptures. Are you seeing this now? So right here we see that Abraham will have some children that are not Jews. Can I see your hand if you see this? He will have some children who are not Jews. Those whom Abraham will father will be by faith, not by descent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? So Abraham will have spiritual children. And that's why Paul says, now the Jew will roll his eyes again. Say, you have come again with your Paul. But I'm sorry. Okay, let's look at Paul a bit. Paul says in Galatians 3 verse 7. Please turn your Bible there. Galatians 3 verse 7. He says, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Clear? Clear? Only those who are what? Of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, now look at verse 8. Pay very close attention. Galatians 3 verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, did what? Preach the gospel to Abraham before and saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. You see this? So what did God do to Abraham? God preached the gospel to Abraham. And what did Abraham do? God believed. Hallelujah. Okay? And verse 9 says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Do you see this now? Can we say his children? Numerous as the stars. Okay, those who are of faith are blessed with what? Believing Abraham. Now back to Genesis 17 verse 5. Genesis 17 verse 5. It says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Do you get it now? For I have made you a father of many nations. Abram meant exalted father. Abram. It means exalted father. But Abraham means father of a multitude of nations. Do you get it now? Is this talking about physical children or spiritual? Okay, thank you very much. Look at verse 6 of the same chapter. It says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Genesis lele. Are you seeing this? Genesis 1, 28 to 26. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make both nations of you. And kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between you and what? Your descendants. Now, it's referring to Abraham's physical descendants. Okay, here. Or Abraham's physical offspring. You can say Israel, okay? Do you get that? In verse 7. After you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. The word stranger there in the Hebrew is the word magor. M-A-G-O-R. Magor. Okay? It means a pilgrim. A pilgrim. One who sojourns. S-O-J-O-U-R-N-S. Sojourns or moves from a place, one place to another, okay, without a permanent abode. I told you, Abraham never built a structure. Remember, I told you that before. He never had a place he lived in. We'll see why now. Are you here? Okay, he kept moving from place to place. Okay, he says, in which you are a stranger, a magor, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, question, how will the land be given to them? How would the land be given to them? By their testimony. Are you following this? Their testimony to those sinful nations. So that was God's plan for Abraham's descendants, Abraham's family, Israel. So why did God pick Abraham? God picked Abraham so that God can use Abraham's family, Israel, to evangelize the world. Are you seeing this now? So when he says, I will give them the land as a possession, is he talking about them acquiring lands or them evangelizing? Them witnessing about God? Are you seeing this now? Okay, and then he repeats the same thing again in Genesis 22 verse 15. Genesis 22 verse 15. Now here he speaks through his angel. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven. Do you see that? And as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Do you see this? It says your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Now enemies here refer to the unbelieving nations, the heathen nations. Okay, we can say the Gentile nations. But now, the Gentiles, or pardon me, the Jews, thought that possessing the gates of their enemies meant to kill them. Hallelujah. How wrong they were, right? Why did God pick Abraham and his family to kill the nations or to witness to them? To witness to them. So when he says possess the gate of their enemies, he is not talking about conquest, political conquest. Okay? He is repeating his mission. Are you following this? The gate in the Jewish thought is the power city of, is the power center of the city. Okay, that's the gate. The gate today will be like the White House of the US. Okay, is the power city of the city. Okay, or the, pardon, the power center of the city, or the power center of the nation. So it says they will possess. Now, what? How is the gate usually like? The gate is usually heavily guarded and protected so that no one outside can penetrate within. So when it says they will penetrate or possess the gates of their enemies, what does that mean? They will then penetrate into that impenetrable, impenetrable boundary barrier between the unbeliever, the unsaved, and God's people. Do you get it? What is that? Salvation. Hallelujah. So how do you possess the gates of, or how were Abraham's descendants supposed to possess the gates of their enemies? By destroying them? Huh? By killing them and taking their land? No. By what? They are witnessing to them. So what is God saying here? Through his angel, God is prophesying that the unbelieving nations will be penetrated into. Okay? So God's message will get to them through Israel. You get it now? That is how you possess the gate of the enemies of God. By our preaching, which turns their hearts to God. Now, this is what Israel was supposed to do. Look at Genesis 22:18 again. Genesis 22:18. It says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Remember, included in God's plan, right? Okay? Because you have obeyed my voice. Now, it says, in your seed. Now, what is it referring to when it says, in your seed? Remember, this is Genesis 3:15, right? The seed of the woman. Do you remember? Okay, will bruise the head of the serpent. So God is saying here that that promised seed of the woman will come from Abraham. Okay, so Abraham's family is chosen to be the lineage of the Messiah, the lineage of the Savior. This is how all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through Abraham. So what does God do? God chooses Abraham's family, Israel, to carry out his plan to bless the world. So the seed of the woman, remember the seed that was promised that will crush the head of the serpent, will bless the families of the earth by crushing the head of the serpent. Do you get it now? That is how he blesses the families of the earth, by crushing the head of the serpent. So Abraham's family is chosen for two reasons. Number one, the lineage of the Messiah will come from Abraham's family. And number two, Abraham's family will serve as God's testimony or God's witness to the unbelieving nations. They will do what? Possess the gate of the enemies. What does that mean? God's message will get to them through Israel. Can I see your hand if you get this now? Hallelujah. So God repeats again his plan to Abraham. And you see as well that God repeats this promise to Abraham's son and his grandson. That is Isaac and Jacob. Look at Isaac. Genesis 26:3-5. Genesis 26:3-5. It says, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, and to you and your descendants I will give all these lands to conquer or to evangelize. Okay? And I will perform this oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands to conquer, to destroy. Huh? Or to witness to bless, to save. Okay? And in your seed, the same thing he said to his father. Do you see that? All the nations of the earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You see, he repeats the same thing again to Jacob in Genesis 28:13. Please turn your Bible there. Genesis 28:13. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give you and your descendants. You see that again? Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. That is innumerable, right? Is that innumerable? Countless? Okay, the world. Huh? Okay, you shall spread abroad. Is this fill the earth? Multiply. To the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and your seed, that is the promised seed of Genesis 3:15, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So when God speaks of giving Israel lands, he is referring to Israel's missionary work. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? Okay? He is giving them lands to evangelize, not to conquer. Okay? He is giving them lands for mission work, not to conquer. Are you here so far? Are you getting this down? So, will it be funny, would it be wise to go to Abraham and say, God has promised me land, so I'm going to take over another man's land? Huh? Would it be wise to say that? Does it make sense to say that? Why were lands given to Abraham and his descendants? To bless. Remember, to what? Fill them with what? The worship of God. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this now? So that Abraham's blessing could not have been lands. Now I've told you this before. It could not have been lands. It could not have been money. Lands and money, or pardon me, lands were given to him not to possess, to conquer, to destroy, but to witness to. So the Jews were wrong. Do you see this now? The Jews were wrong. So God, the first evangelist, right, preaches his message to Abraham. Genesis 15:16. Now, in God's message, he would show who he is and who man is. Do you get that? In God's message, he will show who he is and who man is, as well as God's plan for man. So what did Abraham do? Abraham believed and was righteous. Do you see that now? And you see that Paul tells us that Abraham believed the same gospel that we believe to be saved. The same gospel. Look at Romans 4 verse 1 as we begin to close now. Romans 4 verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is quoting Genesis 15 verse 6, right? Okay. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to he who does not work, is this what Abraham believed? Huh? Is this what Abraham did? Okay. He who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for what? Righteousness. Is this what Abraham did? Okay, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Do you see that? Underline that. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not what? Impute sin. So, Abraham wasn't justified by works, but by faith. Abraham believed what? The same gospel that we believe today. Do you see this now? You see this now? So God showed him his plan of salvation and he believed God's plan ahead of Jesus' coming. That's why Jesus Christ said what? Abraham rejoiced towards, see my day. And Abraham what? Saw it and was glad. You get it now? So Abraham believed God in a promissory note. That is the difference between what we believe today and what Abraham believed. God promised Abraham. So Abraham believed in God's message in a promissory note. When it came to Abraham, it was what? A promise. For us today, it's what? A fulfillment. Do you get it? But it's the same message. Are you here? Are you here? It's the same message. Okay? Then God chooses Abraham and his family to continue his message throughout the earth. What is that message? The blessedness of righteousness by faith. Is that the same thing he told Noah to do? Yes. Same thing he told Adam to do? Yes. The same thing Seth did? Yes. Hallelujah. Now notice Paul's rhetorical question in verse 9 as we begin to close. In verse 9, Romans 4, he says, does this blessedness, the blessedness of what? Lands, money, children, righteousness, by faith, okay, then come upon the circumcised only, that is the Jews, or upon the uncircumcised also, that is the Gentiles, the non-Jews? That's a rhetorical question, right? What's the answer? Does the blessedness come upon the circumcised only? No! For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for what? Righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, hallelujah, but while what? Uncircumcised. You see this? So the righteousness of faith came to Abraham before he was circumcised, before he became a Jew. Do you get this? Do you get this? So God chose Abraham before he became a Jew. Do you see this now? So being a Jew has nothing to do with God's plan. Are you here? It has nothing to do with receiving God's plan. Even the father of the Jews received God's plan without being a Jew. Hallelujah. Are you here? Abraham was a Gentile when he received God's promise. How about that? Jew. How about that? Are you here so far? Okay. Then he says, going on, he says, and he received the seal of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had while still uncircumcised. You see that? That he might be what? The father of all who believe. What does this mean? He that all who believe will imitate. Hallelujah. Jew and Gentile? Jew and Gentile? Or just Jews? Huh? Father of just Jews or Gentiles? Everyone who believes, they will imitate him. Though they are what? Uncircumcised, that is non-Jews. Does this include us? Hallelujah. That righteousness may be imputed to them also. Hallelujah. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who what? Also walk in the steps of the faith which our father. Do you get what father means here? Father here is not Jewish father. Oh, do you get it now? Who walk in what? The steps of the faith. Is this a role model? Is this a role model? Okay. Which our father Abraham had while still was uncircumcised. Hallelujah. So he now becomes that father of all who believe. That's how he's the father. It's nothing spooky. Say, Abraham's blessings are mine. Say, Abraham is my father. And what they mean when they say Abraham is my father, they say, if God could bless Abraham, God can bless me too. So God can give me money. God can give me houses. God can give me several children. Does God bless people materially? Does he? Is that Abraham's blessing? No. Abraham's blessing is what? The righteousness of faith. And it comes to all men, Jew and Gentile included, who walk in the same steps of faith of Abraham. Hallelujah. Okay? So God's blessing of righteousness to sinful men was what Abraham believed on and was saved. Do you get it now? That was Abraham's blessing. Righteousness by faith, not money, houses, or lands. And it is for both circumcised, the Jews, and the uncircumcised, that is, the non-Jews or the Gentiles. Because Abraham received the blessing while uncircumcised, while a Gentile. So, God chose the Jews to now tell everyone else about this blessing. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? That is the function of the Jews in the scriptures. When we say the Jews are God's special people, understand what the scriptures mean. When the scriptures, we'll look at that in the next session. When it says the Jews are God's special people, it doesn't mean that God chose the Jews above the nations of the world. No. It simply means that God chose the Jews to let others know about his blessing. Do you get it? That is what makes them special. And that's why you see that the Bible is full of Jewish people, because they are the ones that God chose to let the world know about his message. Do you get it now? That is why the Bible is full of them. However, God did not choose the Jews alone to enjoy this blessing. Don't get it twisted. Remember, God is the God of both the Jews and the non-Jews. So what does God want? Jews or the world? The world. Hallelujah. So he chose Abraham's family, Israel, to tell the world about Jesus' plan of salvation. That is how all the families of the earth will be blessed in Abraham. Hallelujah. So continue from here in the next session. Lift your hands and give him praise.